Our reading in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. Sunday morning we preached on Why Troublest Thou the Master Any Further? It's the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter. And tonight we're going to focus on the lady that came to Jesus as the Lord was on his way to Jairus' house. And we pick up our reading in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. This story is also found in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, and Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 20. You have to skip around a little bit here to get it, but it's the phrase, a woman with an issue of blood. A woman with an issue of blood. I speak to you tonight on that subject. Father, we love you. Help us this night to be drawn completely and totally to your word. Help us to understand that when your word is open, that you're speaking to us. And help us not to add to your voice. Help us not to take away from it. Help us to simply just do an accurate, faithful job at preaching what you've already said. May thy will be done this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Lord Jesus has just called out for Matthew to follow him in this chapter here. Matthew left everything he had to follow the Lord. He also called a meal in his own home, if you remember. We've already preached on this as we're preaching through the book of Matthew. He had a meal in his own home and invited others to come, and the Lord Jesus sat to eat with them. Now this is a good time again to emphasize that there are those who are in our own circle of influence that we can help introduce to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's interesting that Matthew was known as a publican, and yet in the meal that he called in his home, the Bible very specifically says that there were publicans who came to this meal. Now that's a great thought there, because we see that Matthew's using the influence that God had him and gave him right where he was to try to reach out to those who didn't know the Lord as their Savior. And I'm telling you, may God help all of us to do the same, whether it be us opening our homes to our neighbors and lost friends, or a boss having a Bible study, whatever the case may be. And I remind all of you men and ladies that met with me who have your own business and have the capability of doing a Bible study in the office, I encourage you to be much in prayer about that and ask the Lord to tell you what He wants you to do. I'll be honest with you, I'd be more apt to say, Lord, you better stop me or I'm going on. Instead of saying, Lord, listen, I'm not going to do it unless you just put a, you know, hit me with a lightning bolt. Because anytime we're trying to get the gospel out, we know the Lord wants us to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that being the case, as we leave this scene of Matthew, we come to a story within a story taking place. Now a certain ruler named Jairus came to the Lord, I've already preached on him Sunday morning, on behalf of his sick daughter who was at the point of death. He asked the Lord to come with him to his house and touch his daughter that she may be healed and live. Now the Lord listened to this man and began to follow him to his house. However, as they were on their way to Jairus' home, there was a woman with an issue of blood that came behind the Lord, only wanting to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. Now, it's this woman with the issue of blood that I want to draw our attention to this night. And as we study her right here, as we study her in the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are several things about her that we see and that we can learn from. Now tonight, I want to give you four things about this woman with an issue of blood. And it's interesting, sometimes I will apply it as I go. I'm not doing that tonight,
God willing, I'm going to be giving you her life, and then I'm going to apply it at the end of the message. Because remember that the message starts with the application. In other words, facts about the Bible do not mean anything unless you apply it to your life. God is speaking to me in this passage. God is speaking to you in this passage. Now, what is he trying to tell us? That's what I want you to focus on tonight. We're going to use the lady here because the Lord does in his word to bring out some great truths. Number one, the first thing we notice about a woman with an issue of blood, first of all, we see her disease. Now, the Bible says in verse number 20, and then in Mark chapter 5, Luke chapter 8, the Bible plainly teaches that this woman had an issue of blood. Now, the Bible says she had this particular issue of blood for 12 years. Now, this has been identified in my study as some type of a chronic hemorrhage that she had that she couldn't stop, if you will. Now, Mark tells us that she had suffered, direct quote, Mark tells us that she, and I quote, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Luke tells us that she, and I quote, spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Now, it's interesting that God used Luke to pin those words there, that right here where it says, spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. It's interesting that God, the Holy Spirit, used Luke to pin those words because, my friends, that's what Luke was. He was a physician. He was a doctor. And God is using this man who was a physician to identify the problem, that it was out of his hands. He was a doctor, but he couldn't help her. And no other doctors could help her. See, the point is that this woman had an incurable disease. Mark also calls her problem a plague. And it's interesting that when you look that word up, plague, you know what it means? It means a whip. It means a scourge like a Roman whip that they would beat criminals with. You know the idea that that word is saying? It's saying that this disease was one that was beating the daylights out of this lady. I mean, beating her up one side and down the other. By the way, Jairus' need was public. It was a public need. His daughter was dying. This lady's wasn't public. It was private. There might be somebody here tonight that nobody in the world knows what you're going through. There might be somebody here tonight that it is a private thing and you think nobody cares. And I'm telling you, we learn in this story that there's one who always cares, and his name is Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in the Word of God, we see that her disease left her permanently unclean for ceremonial reasons, chapter 15. According to Mosaic law, this disease could have excommunicated her, Leviticus chapter 12. Everything she touched was considered unclean, Leviticus chapter 15. She was a social outcast who spent all her living and everything she had to try and find a cure. She had lost religious consolation. She had lost family care. She had lost social standing, and she had lost financial security. The bottom line is this woman was very sick, in need of something that man could not give her. That's her disease. Number two, let's notice her determination. We see this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, Mark tells us that this woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. I mean, it's interesting that the book of Mark tells us, same story, that the reason that she went to Jesus is because she heard about him. Can I say something to you? We don't even know how she heard about him. But thank God she did. She heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this, we need to do all we can to make sure that this world hears of Jesus Christ today. Many scattered around the world need to hear the news about the blessed Son of God who loved them enough to come and die for their sins. May I tell you that this lady was suffering for 12 years. We don't know when she heard about the Lord, but thank God she finally heard about him. And may I tell you that there are people scattered around the world and they have no idea who Jesus is. And I'm telling you that they need to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this being the case, let's look at her determination. Once this lady heard about Jesus, she knew in her heart that she had to get to him. Now Matthew tells us, and I quote here, it's right here in front of you, that she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Mark tells us that she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Now, the press must have been many because Mark goes on to tell us that the disciples said the multitude was thronging him. You know what that word thronged means? It means to be crowded in on all sides. Now, you say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. The point is this woman knew she had a major disease that the doctors could not heal. She knew in her heart that Jesus was the only one who could heal her. So when she heard about him, she was not going to let anything or anybody keep her from reaching out to touch Jesus Christ. She was not going to let her excommunication. She was not going to let the crowd of people or anything else keep her from getting to Jesus. She was determined to touch the Lord. And may I tell you that because the Bible says he was thronged, get the idea. Can you imagine him walking and people's crowding him everywhere he is? Are you listening to me? There was not a straight line to him. Who knows how many people she had to get out of the way? By the way, she wasn't supposed to touch anybody. Because if you did it, listen, it's going to make them unclean. But she was not going to stop short of getting to touch the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. She was determined. Number one, her disease. Number two, her determination. Number three, let's notice her deliverance. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, it says, but Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, Mark tells us that when she touched the hem of his garment, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Luke tells us that immediately her issue of blood stanched. Now, here in this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, here it is now, here this woman is, she's had an issue of blood for 12 years, she spent all she had on doctors, and instead of getting better, she got worse and worse. But she hears about Jesus, she presses through the crowd to touch his garment. Once she did this, immediately she was delivered from her disease. May I say something? Glorious day for this woman. I'm talking about what a day when the fountain of her blood dried up after 12 long years. She had been healed. May I say this to you? Many touched the Lord that day. Why else would the disciples, whenever the Lord turned around and said, who touched me? Why else would they say, what do you mean who touched you? The crowd's thronging you. In other words, all kinds of people are touching you. Listen, the crowd. Which had touched it. Therefore the Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And thus he put the crown upon the head of her faith, because her faith had already set the crown on his head. It's interesting to note how the Lord Jesus called her daughter. He called her that in verse number 22. Called her that elsewhere as well. When all was said and done, get this, she had come into a different relationship with God through faith. She had been an outcast. She had been a nobody dwelling in isolation. But now, when she heard about the Lord and believed in her heart that he's the answer, her faith delivered her soul. Her faith in Christ delivered her disease. And I'm telling you this tonight, that what a deliverance we have right here. That the God of the universe has taken an outcast nobody and has now welcomed her and now looks at her and says, daughter. What a great, great thought that comes out in Scripture here. Number one, we've noticed her disease. Number two, we've noticed her determination. Number three, we've noticed her deliverance. Number four, I want to show you her declaration. Now, I want you to flip over to the book of Mark with me. Again, this is the same account, just a different human penman. Look at Mark chapter 5 and also find Luke chapter 8. Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter number 8. We're looking at this woman with an issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. That's her disease, some kind of chronic hemorrhage. She hears about the Lord. She's determined to reach out and touch Christ. Wasn't going to let anything stop her or keep her from the Lord. When she reached out by faith and touched him, he stops, he turns, he looks at her, and he says, your faith hath made you whole. And he calls her daughter, go home, you have been made whole. Now, we want to bring out something here that came out in my study. Now, notice in Mark chapter 5, verse 30 through 33, the Bible says in verse number 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, I want you to flip over to the book of Luke with me, Luke chapter 8. Now, keep these thoughts in your mind here because we're looking at her declaration. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Luke 8, 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, you know what that tells me? She wanted to be hidden. She came in secret. She wasn't going to draw attention to herself. She just wanted to come touch him, go home, and be whole. But it says, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling before him. She declared, there it is, her declaration. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now you say, Jody, what's the point? There's a great thought here. Now think with me. Here she is, a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. She has some kind of chronic hemorrhage and so on. She knows that she's in a desperate situation. She's spending everything she has, all the money she has, upon doctors. And Luke, the physician, says that there was no physician that could heal her, including me, the doctor. And yet Mark says, finally, she heard about Jesus. She heard about the one who can take care of her needs. So she said, in herself, Matthew says, in herself, she said, if I can just go to him and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She's showing faith in the blessed Son of God. So she comes behind him. She thinks she's hiding herself. And the Lord knows everything that's going on from start to finish. She's coming. She thinks she's in secret. She's breaking through the crowd. She's pressing through. And right there is the hem of his garment. Can you see her reaching out for it? There it is. She's down. She's reaching out with all her might. She doesn't want to pull on it. She just wants to touch it because she knows in her mind, in her heart, that this is the one who can take care of her problem. So by faith, she reaches out and she touches it. And she thinks she's getting ready to leave, but no, sir. The Lord, instead of going on like he could have, he could have gone on. But instead of going on, the Bible says he stopped and he turns around and he says, who touched me? Question. Did he know who touched him? Sure he did. What is he doing? Stay with me. What is he doing? The Bible says in the book of Luke, when everybody denied, I didn't touch you.
I didn't touch you.
Peter said, Lord, can't you just see his face probably looking like mine, right? Lord, now think with me. The crowd is thronging you. There's all kinds of people touching you. What do you mean who touched you? And he said, no, somebody touched me because virtue's gone out of me. Somebody touched me in faith. I've just healed somebody. And then the Bible says, now think with me now, all this is going on. Can't you just see her over here just kind of biting her finger down? Oh, no. And finally the Bible says when she realized that she couldn't hide anymore, says she came trembling. She's afraid. She came trembling and fell before him and declared unto him everything that happened. Now you say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. This disease had been a private matter for her. She didn't want to draw attention to herself. She only wanted to come to touch the hem of his garment. The Bible says, behind him. She didn't come in front. She didn't come from the side. She came from behind. Read it yourself. It's what the Bible says. Mark tells us that when she touched his garment, Jesus knew virtue had gone out from him. And when he turns and says, who touched my clothes? Here's what he was doing. He already knew who touched him. He knew that she had come not to draw attention to herself. He knew that she had believed that he could and would heal her. Therefore, when he asked, who touched me? Are you listening to me? He was showing that he wanted this to be acknowledged. He was giving this woman the opportunity to praise him. And he was giving her the opportunity to tell everybody around what he had just done for her. He didn't want her to be ashamed to tell what he did for her. He wanted her, here it is, to share her personal testimony. And he wanted her to tell those around her everything Christ did for her. And I'm telling you, what a great truth we learn right here. I want to apply this message. You say, how are you going to apply it? Okay, conclusion, underline. There are several thoughts we can apply to our lives in this story. Number one, here it is. Just as this woman had a blood disease, so does every human being that is born. We have inherited the sin nature from our father Adam, who is our blood father, my friends. And I'm telling you in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. She had a blood disease. Guess what? So do we. You know what it's called? Sin. That's what it's called. Number two, just as Jesus Christ was the only answer for her problem, he is still the only answer for the sin problem around the world. And I'm telling you that there are religions and there are different denominations and there are different factions all over the world who try to add to or take away from Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that they can spend everything they have, they can do everything they want to do, and they'll rather grow worse instead of getting better, because it's Christ and Christ alone, my friends. And I'm telling you, it's Christ and Christ only. He is the way, the truth, the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. John 14:6. Number three, how do we apply this? I'm just applying these thoughts here. Number three, if you're in a situation that seems hopeless, now don't you tell me in a crowd this size here, and I appreciate you being here. The cadet program's going on. I appreciate you taking time in the middle of the week to come out to hear the word of God. But I know in a crowd this size, there's somebody somewhere who feels that the situation they are in is hopeless. There's no doubt in my mind. Whatever it is, none of my business, but I guarantee you there's somebody listening to me right now that seemingly is in a hopeless situation. And I'm telling you, Have faith in God. Reach out to Jesus Christ. Determine to touch Jesus tonight. And I promise you, I'm not going to say he's going to lead you, remove it, but just like preacher used to say, he'll either remove it or he'll just plow right around it and keep going. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the answer to every situation in life. There is no hopeless situation when you put the Lord in the equation. Now, I know it's easy to say that and hard to live it whenever you're going through something, but folks, it's the truth, whether you're on the mountain or the valley, that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. He really is. Somebody says, what about the economy? Let me tell you what the answer to that is. You listening? Revival towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do we need? We need the Lord. That's what we need. The Lord's the answer. It's not this, it's not that, it is him. And may I remind you that if you're in a hopeless situation, don't forget the story of Lazarus. I preach a message entitled, When All Hope Is Gone. Because if you remember when Martha and Mary sent for Jesus, Lazarus was only sick. This is in John chapter number 11. But the Bible says he stayed right where he was for 2 days. Then he said, let's go. And when he got in town, Lazarus had died and been in the grave 4 days. And just like I've preached this, but just in case you've never heard it, I'll say it again. Back in this day, it's being taught, and the Lord knew it. No doubt in my mind, the Lord knew it. That back in this day when somebody died, when they buried him, the spirit of that body, well, now we know it's not true, but could it be the Lord knew that this being taught, so he came on the fourth day, it was being taught that the spirit would hover around the body trying to get back into the tomb and trying to get back into the body, trying to reenter. But when the fourth day came, that spirit realizes no hope here, I'm gone, and it's forever, that person, that body is now dead. It's interesting that the Lord didn't come on the first, second, or third day. He stepped in town on the fourth day. He stepped in town on the day when even the spirit, those who were teaching false doctrine, even when they would have to say, all hope's gone. And yet when he called his name, the Bible says he that was dead came forth. Are you listening to me? He can do anything he wants to do. And many times he chooses to work when some of his children, those that are already saved, when some of his children determine, I'm not going to go there and I'm not going to go there, I am determined that he really is the only answer to this. And I will not stop short until I reach out and touch him. It's like Jacob wrestling in the book of Genesis. I can't wait till I get to that chapter in Genesis. What was it he said? He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. May God give us Christians with prayer lives like that. May God help me in my prayer life. Then point number 4. Do not be ashamed to tell others what the Lord has done for you. You know what others need to hear? What God's done for you. The story of the maniac of Gadara. It was our memory verse a couple weeks ago. Remember it in Mark chapter 5, verse number 19? Where the Bible says that the crowd came out and kicked Jesus out of town, and the maniac that the Lord saved and clothed him and put him back in his right mind, he wants to go with the Lord. He wanted to go with Jesus. Howbeit, in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, howbeit, Jesus saith unto him, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath had compassion on thee and hath delivered thee. What's he saying? He's saying, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. That's what he's saying. You know what he's telling this lady to do here? She's ashamed, if you will. It's a private, personal matter, friends. She's ashamed, but yet she's been healed. She's been delivered. And she just wants to seep back into oblivion. She's not proud. She's a humble person. Can't you see that? She's very humble. She's been delivered, and she knows it, but she doesn't want to draw attention to herself. She's trying just to ease out
and get back home. When the Lord turns toward her and says, "Who touched me?" I didn't. Somebody touched me. And that somebody knows who they are. Let me just say it this way. Jesus turned and said, "Who was it I delivered? Who was it I just turned your life around? Who was it I just made your life whole? Who was it I just gave you a fresh start? Step forward and give glory to God." How many will say, "Lord, I was that woman. I was hopeless. I was in a situation that no man could help me, and I was in a situation that was seemingly hopeless, but I thank you that somebody told me about Jesus, like they told her. And by faith, we've accepted the free gift of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God." By the way, faith is never a work. Check it out in your Bible, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's simply believing in the work that he did for us. And may I say to you that when we believed in him, trusted Christ as our Savior by faith, that he too delivered us from our disease. And now the voice of Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who did I save? Who did I heal? Who will step forward and tell them what I'm able to do?" Do you get it? Do you get this story? I love Bible stories. I like getting into them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, this is what it is. Look at that lady. See her in all of her hopelessness. And yet when she touched Christ, Christ delivered her. And now the Lord says, "Will you tell them what I did for you?" Why would he want her to do that? I dare say because maybe there were others in that crowd who had touched him, but not by faith. They were thronging him, but they weren't trusting him. And may the Lord help us all to do our part in sharing with those around us simply what he's done for us. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're doing and going to do. And I pray, our Lord, that you help us as we think and contemplate and dwell on this woman with an issue of blood, that you train us with her life. Show us what you're trying to teach us through this lady. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared there, they're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just like this lady. You have this blood disorder. And there's nothing human beings can do. Joining a church will not help you. Getting wet in the baptistry will not take your sin away. Giving money in the offering plate will not buy your soul salvation. If you tonight say, "Jody, I'm not sure I'm saved." Or maybe you know you're lost and you say, "I realize that Christ is the answer." He's not a answer, he's the answer. You say, "Pray for me, I'd like to be saved." Why don't you come in just a moment, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Or maybe tonight you say, "Jody, I'm here and I'm saved, but I've got a seemingly hopeless situation. I've got a situation in my life right now." God knows all about it. It may be public, it may be private. It's none of our business. But if you say, "I have a situation right now that's humanly speaking, there's no doctor, there's no physician." I'm not talking about even if it could be a sickness, but what I'm talking about is there's no human help for it. And you realize that it's beyond, and you need a touch from God. You need God to show up and God to take care of it. Why don't you come and determine tonight to start on this altar that you're not going to let anything stop you from reaching out and getting a blessing from Jesus Christ. You're going to touch his garment. You're going to touch him, and you're going to come and pray and pray until light breaks through. Or maybe tonight God's dealing with you because you're just like that lady. You realize that what Jesus did for you, he's done a great thing. And now you hear him say, "Who touched me?" He knows who touched him. He knows that you reached out by faith and asked him to come here. He already knows.
did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
We're playing through softly. People are praying. If you're standing, you can look this way. Just challenge you. Take gospel tracts with you on your way out. Give them the cashier people. Give them to the gas station people. Give them out. Lay them in places. Saturate the place with the Word of God. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Somebody told you, friends. And somebody told her. And when they told her, you know what she said? That's who I need. She wasn't going to let anybody keep her from it. And you know, there could be people out there today that's just waiting on somebody to say, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Who knows what the Lord will use that for? Amen. We're excited to have you here. God bless you. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Help us to be soul conscious as we're out and about this week. And praise the Lord for it. It's good to see some of these folks who are visiting with us in the service tonight. It's good to see Scott back with us. God bless you, buddy. We're so thrilled to have you here. And that's a great thing. And pray for him. Brother Steve and myself, I think, are going to come by and visit with him tomorrow. So you can let me in, but I don't know about Brother Steve. You know, you might want to keep him out. But anyway, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to talk to him about some things of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? And we're thrilled to have him here. We're thrilled to have a number of you here visiting with us. The dean's here. God bless you. And so on. Glad to have you. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Bless us now as we leave. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to tell somebody about you. And Lord, to be soul conscious along the way. Thy will be done in our life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.